This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
Yes, all right. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Turn in your Bibles to Luke, if you would. The book of Luke, chapter 3. And as we talk about Jesus going into beginning his journey to victory, I originally didn't have all this, but I thought, well, on his journey to victory, there was an announcement way back in the Old Testament that he was going to be coming. Time and time again in the Old Testament, he's coming, he's coming. Then in the New Testament, they also announced his coming, said, hey, he's coming, by the way. As a matter of fact, and again, I didn't have this in here, but I think I'd be remiss if we didn't mention it. When Jesus was born, his road to victory started out as a young child when he was learning the scriptures, when he went into the tabernacles, the synagogues, and he was going there, and his parents, remember when they lost him? Really, that was kind of the beginning of his journey to victory. When they lost him, he said, I had to be about my Father's business. That's where I was. That was the foundation or the beginning stages. That's why when we see our young kids in church and the babies, when we see those things, and we see our young teenagers, and we see them growing up in the church, man, that's the foundation. It's paving a way for better things to come. By the way, I love August up front, praising and worshiping, whether that's through his instruments or whether he knows the words. I love that. I love that, teaching him to praise God with whatever way he can at his age, and I love that. And I love to hear the babies, and I love to see the babies walking around and growing up. I mean, it's amazing. I just can't believe, you know, I'm sorry, how old is August now? Oh my gosh, he just keeps growing. You know, he's 4, just had a birthday. And his sister, same thing, recently had a birthday. I remember David and Christian Evenson when they started here, 7 and 11 years old. They're outgrowing their parents by height for sure. And I thought, man, that's our church growing up. But I thought, I love it. On the road to victory. And then Spencer, who sang today, I won't give away your age, Spencer, or something. But when he was here as a teenager, and his sister was here as a teenager, and Austin, and we see them grow up, and all of a sudden, oh, I'll be doggone, they're going to be serving in church. And I hear Atlas back there at the table, you know, coloring. And I look forward to the day he's serving. And his sister Aurora as well. There's a foundation on that journey to victory. And the beginning isn't always easy for everyone, by the way. You know, for Jesus, he thought it was all right. His parents lost him, but he thought it was all right. So the Old Testament told about this Savior's coming. The New Testament, it says, John the Baptist prepares the way. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's coming. And he's baptizing people. And he says, there's going to be one greater than I, that I'm not worthy to baptize. John 3:1 talks about John the Baptist preparing the way. He says, in verse 4, says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And it says, John is preaching to the people. But then if we skip all the way over to verse 21 of Luke chapter 3, it says, when all people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Step number one in your journey to victory is a defining moment. There's a defining moment for each one of you that said, in my journey, my faith journey is what we're talking about here. There was a defining moment. I gave my life to Christ. I was baptized. Maybe I did that before, but then there was a defining moment later in life where God spoke to me and I understood the decisions I had made earlier. There's a defining moment. Jesus was baptized. And notice it said, while he prayed, the heaven was opened. As he was being baptized, it wasn't just baptize me, Lord. It was, let me pray. And as he came up, I love that. The Holy Spirit in bodily form descended like a dove upon him. He said audibly, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. That was the beginning of what we're looking at for his journey to victory. Yes, it started earlier with a proclamation that this person is coming in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, John is telling about this person that is coming. And then it happens when John baptizes him in that defining moment. Think back to your defining moment. Think back what that felt like. That burning desire inside of your heart said, Lord, Lord, please speak to me. Lord, use me. Lord, prepare me. Lord, help me. Lord, train me. Lord, teach me. Lord, forgive me. Jesus, in his defining moment, in his baptism in the Holy Spirit, entered into his ministry. And I love that, so we go immediately to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, right after this happened, they talk about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, but right after this happened, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. He just came back from the river where he was baptized. And he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Huh? The Savior of the world just had this defining moment. The Holy Spirit came down, descended on him in bodily form like a dove. This is my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased, was spoken to him. He left the river, went out and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and immediately tempted by the devil. Anybody ever have that happen? Oh, we had a great Sunday service. Oh, the Spirit was moving in there. Oh, there's the devil right there as I pull out on Anderson Road. The devil was driving a 72 Chevy pickup right in front of me, almost hit me. And those people just left the church down at 240 in Anderson and said, my gosh, the devil just pulled out of Prayer of Faith driving a 1960 whatever. And everyone's going, there's the devil in the other car. But he was tempted by the devil. The Lord has worked in my life, and I thought, devil, would you please get away from me? You know, Eric and I talk a lot, and we're thankful for our partner in ministry. In that moment that really stuck with me when it said, the devil is out to get you, was something Eric taught on over at Ground Zero years ago, and I'll never forget it. And he said, man, the enemy is looking for a beautiful trophy, like a pastor, like a pastor's family, like a Bible student, whatever it is, someone ministering to other people, and he would love to take that beautiful, godly person and put him right there. This is my trophy. Look, they used to be a pastor and now they're mine. They work for me. And that's the devil. Don't think for a second that these seats are safe from the devil, from the enemy's attack. They're not. They're more protected if you get in this and know this and can fight the devil with this. Not once a week. That's not much training. I go to the gym about once every couple of weeks or whatever. That's why you look the way you do, Adam. And by the way, I don't go to the gym anymore. But not much is going to happen when you have that little of discipline. David, you're a senior in high school, preparing for college classes, taking a lot of advanced classes that I give you great credit for, because I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. Maybe I could, but I didn't try. And man, you have this plan. And we talked briefly about it Wednesday night in Ground Zero. And we've got to remember Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't just say, well, I guess I'm lion's dinner tonight, and give up. He knew where his power and his safety and his source came from. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't give up and say, I guess we're barbecued tonight. They said, we know where our strength comes from. Oh, and by the way, before they even got to that point, you will bow down to this God and to this king. They said, not us, only our God and our king. They knew where their source was from. So many in the Old Testament, when they went into prison, when they got into trouble, when they faced the enemy, they knew where their protection came from. Amen? So Jesus, in his defining moment, said, boom, here I am. But right out of the gate, the second thing on his journey to victory was the devil. Temptation. So we have our defining moment, but then we have temptation, or the devil trying to woo us back. For people that are coming out of strong addictions or strong or bad relationships, it is very hard to step away from those and stay away from those. The pull of those places is so powerful. And when they meet Jesus, they have a new source and a new power on their side. But just like you sitting here, it doesn't protect you from the enemy. That source will protect you from the enemy, but only if you open up and allow it. Because we're so easily wooed back to our comfort zone. We're so easily wooed back to what we know because it's easy. And because this takes work. I've been talking for several weeks about Matthew and the narrow gate. Why aren't there a whole lot of people lined up at the narrow gate? Because it says, difficult is the way. On our journey to victory, there will be difficulties. He tells us that. And some people just simply say, not worth the effort, not worth the fight. Why not? Why not? Don't be King Agrippa. You almost had me confused with that Jesus business, and I almost submitted to that and became one of you. You almost persuaded me. We've got our defining moment. We have temptation from the devil. And Jesus goes through this routine with the devil. And I'm skipping a lot of the meat, but I'm trying to get to just a couple situations in here. Not that the rest of this doesn't have value by any means. But verse 14 and 15 of Luke chapter 4. And I love this because when we have our defining moment and then we go through temptation or possibly a stumble or fall. Now, Jesus didn't, but during our temptation, we may. But I love this in verse 14 and 15. It says, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. He didn't just return, but he returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Woo! Okay. Defining moment. Now we've got temptation, but then we have restoration, if you will. Jesus, while he was away, became weak and hungry in those 40 days and tempted with the devil. And the devil often uses phrases like, if you can, and if you are, and if. I think I've said it before, just like the emails. If you are a Christian, send this to 27 people. Otherwise, delete. Delete. I'm still a Christian just because I didn't send it to 27 people. The devil will often use those divisive tools. If. Then make this happen. If, then don't do this. Don't leave, don't stay, whatever. But then, after he was weakened by hunger and the devil himself, he returned in power. And it's important when we return from a stumble or a fall or an absence from the presence of God that we return in power. You can kind of just sneak in and go, I'm going to stand on the fringes. Return in power. News of him went out, being glorified by all. Be restored. Allow yourself to be restored. Allow yourself to be returned to power and confidence and boldness. Do well. Just because there was a failure, think about great people that have led companies and corporations, politicians that are great, that are good. Think about, it wasn't always an easy path for them. They may have stumbled multiple times. Some of you may have stumbled multiple times in your journey. You know, I challenged you to a couple things a few weeks back. One was to put God first. How's that going? David, you know what I'm going to say. Easier said than done. Sometimes it's easier said than done. And I get it. But what are we going to do about it? It is easier said than done. But it can be done. And then we had three challenges. Show up to the house of the Lord. Praise and worship the Lord. I heard some of you praise and worshiping this morning. And then give sacrificially to the Lord. How are those three things going? Well, if I had a better voice, I could praise better. He didn't ask you to sing louder or sing perfect. He just said, praise the Lord. I'm giving. Are you giving sacrificially to the Lord? Well, if my situation, okay. Show up to the house of the Lord. It's hard. You know, we lost an hour of sleep last night. And it was just hard to get here. So does that mean 6 months from now you're going to be here an hour early, ready to rock and roll? All right. No, see, it works to our benefit in our situation. However we want to work it, if it serves our selfish fleshly desires, we can make it happen. Restoration. It's important when you come back and are restored to the Lord that you come back with power. Oh, by the way, it doesn't say, and Jesus walked away upset. And he left and didn't come back. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee. And he kept pressing on. Now, verse 16 through 30, it's going to be a little longer read here. And it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And he stood in front of them and he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. And he gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.'" And then he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows who were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zephareth in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Then what happened? "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath." Uh-oh. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He taught in their synagogues and being glorified by all. But then he spoke those." And it says, "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way." Wow. We've had our defining moment. Immediately, in Jesus' case, filled with temptation or an attack by the devil. Then we had restoration, a return in power. And now we just read rejection. I'm sorry, this is the Savior. And he's already going through these things? Rejection by his friends, by his family, by his own people, by peers, by strangers. We'll see over the next couple of weeks this pattern. Now Jesus is rejected, doing what he was doing, teaching. Ooh, man, you got to hear this guy. And then he opened his mouth and spoke more. And they said, "Ooh, let's take him out and throw him over the cliff." Anyone been through that in their life? I felt like I was doing really good. Turned my life over to Christ, and then I lost my job. And oh, dang. My family started struggling. We go through these different things. Devil just was knocking, just wouldn't stop. I thought maybe he'd go away in 6 months. A year later, 10 years, the devil's been knocking on the door. By the way, Pastor Eric Ferguson taught me that lesson as well. Oh yeah, he'll just keep picking away at that foundation. You ever drive under a bridge and you see the columns and they're slowly crumbling away and you think, only a matter of time before that thing falls, unless it is restored. But when it's fallen apart and it's rusting underneath the surface, it will eventually collapse, as we will, unless we are restored to that faith. Unless we are restored and brought back to the presence of God. And we had restoration. And then we thought we were on our way again. And then we found out we faced rejection. And our family all of a sudden starts talking about us. And and my coworkers, and my friends, and people at school, and people at church. And I'm being rejected by people. Jesus went through the midst of them and got away. Now, chapter 5, Jesus calls four fishermen to be his disciples. Jesus does some ministry. He cleanses a leper, heals a paralytic, calls some more people about him, is questioned on some different things. And he called some folks to be his disciple, but also people followed him just to be his student, so that he could mentor them. He's got new friends, new faces, new people around him. Jesus continues doing his ministry from that defining moment. He knows what his work is. Chapter 5 and 6 go through that. Then chapter 6 of Luke. Verse 1. It says, now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of grain and they ate them, rubbing them with their hands. And of course, some of the Pharisees saw this and they said to them, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? And Jesus answered them and he said, have you not even read this? What David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him. Now he went into the house of God, took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful to do, except by the priest. And he said to them, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. I'm sure that went over well with the Pharisees. So it goes on in Luke chapter 6, verse 6. Now it happened on another Sabbath also, that he entered the synagogue and he taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. Let me just read the rest of this before I interject my thoughts. Verse 8, but he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, he said, arise and stand here. And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, I will ask one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it? And when he had looked around at all of them, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored, as whole as the others. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Well, man, imagine that. In the synagogue, teaching and preaching. In the synagogue, the people in there were filled with rage. Doesn't sound like anything's getting through to them. I don't know. But they're still getting used to Jesus being there, claiming to be the Savior. And they're living in the old ways, the old law. So now Jesus has healed this man on the Sabbath after the week before snatching a little food. He said, is it best to do good work or do evil on the Sabbath? To save life or to destroy it? Now, the good works of Jesus are being attacked. The Pharisees, the scribes, you usually find the Sadducees around them, they're all hanging out together and they're all against Jesus. So on his road to victory, they're watching carefully. Let's see what this guy's going to do. Sure enough, he healed someone on the Sabbath. Now we have an accusation against him. I was doing a good deed at school. I was doing a good deed at work. Those that didn't understand, they attacked me. Jesus, his good works are now being attacked. I had my defining moment. I was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended upon me. Woo! This is the start of my ministry. Walked out of the Jordan, was immediately brought into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And lo and behold, there in the midst of the wilderness is the devil tempting me. But I came back in power. I was restored. I was back on my mission for God. My friends rejected me. Told me to get out. I'm going to come back and I'm going to heal people. Anyway, because I know that's what God wants me to do. I'm going to teach to them. I'm going to preach. I'm going to heal them. And that's what Jesus pressed on to do. He was an overcomer. He said, man, the enemy's not getting me. Those people that are against me are not going to get me. But now my hard work is being attacked again. This man is the Savior of the world. He says, I've gone through these things. I've done these things. I know it's my Father's will. And many of you say, I'm doing my Father's will. And Adam, I'm doing the best I can. But I feel like the enemy's attacking. Well, first of all, don't take a vacation from this place when the enemy is attacking. This place you will find people to surround you. Last week, as Kisha said, raise your hand if you need prayer. And then those around, go and pray for them. What a beautiful thing that is, that the body of believers can pray for those around them. Somebody doesn't necessarily need to stand up and say, here's what I'm going through, pray for me. That's okay, but they don't have to. We can just say, man, I'm going through things. Would you pray for me? Yeah. I don't have to know the details. God knows the details. I have to know that I can pray for you, not having all the information. And it's still good and still right to do. But now, Adam, I come here and I'm trying to do good and I'm trying to stand strong and I just feel like I just keep tripping and stumbling. Read back at the beginning of the year, allow God to set your path and follow the path that He leads for you, that He creates for you. It says, you can create a plan, but I'll show you how to get it. It says, don't formulate your own plan. Is that why we're tripping over our feet? Or are we just tripping because, well, we're new. We're just learning to walk. Kids didn't just stand up and start walking one day, necessarily. I mean, they fell a few times. It's unsteady. It's uneasy. It's not comfortable because they're not used to doing that, because they're used to just laying on their back or laying on their belly, and then they'll start crawling a little bit. We got a crawler in the house, don't we, Tim? Little Aurora. Crawling. On the verge of trying to stand every time she can. But are we tripping because we're not in tune with God's will? We're trying to do our own? Is it because we're just unprepared, undisciplined? These things help us fight the enemy. Well, I never know what to do. I just pick up the phone. I call Jan Murray. Well, you think it's because Jan spends maybe 30 minutes a week studying God's Word? No. She knows God's Word. Now, sometimes she may say, hey, God's Word said you got to stand up and walk on your own, and you got to do this on your own. My point being, to somebody that studies the Word, they have the answers. But we can't always just say, what do I do now? We've got to go and start find our own answers in here. Don't Google it. You know, my friend said this is the best remedy. Oh, dear Lord. Okay. No, the remedy's right in here, doctors. The remedy's right here. Now, Jesus goes through after he was healing and told the man to stretch out his hand, and it was made complete. Then Jesus got the rest of the 12 together with him. It says, Jesus heals a great multitude. Through everything that Jesus went through, he had his defining moment. He had temptation or attacks by the devil. He was restored back into power or returned back into power. Then he was rejected in his own town. Family, friends, peers, strangers. Then he overcame that rejection and he continued on with his ministry. He went to the next place. He didn't try and return back to that same place. So he overcame the rejection. Then he found new people to hang out with. Let's go to another town. Let's find some good people. If you're hanging out with negative people, and they're the ones, by the way, say, well, you'll never amount to anything. Well, you can't do that. You need to find some new friends that say you can do anything you put your mind to. Oh, by the way, let Jesus help you with that plan. Don't plan it all on your own. And then after all that, he found new friends. He did good works and they were attacked. His good works were brought into question, brought into attack. He said, what are we here to do? Are we here to do good works or evil? Are we here to save lives or take away? They were concerned about the law so that they could accuse him of doing wrong. We set up rules for children sometimes and just watch. They're going to mess up. That's no good. Okay? Not to set them up for failure. Help guide them before they get to that point. Through everything Jesus went through, his highs and his lows, and his highs and his lows, he knew he had to be about his Father's business still. And he knew he had to follow the will of God. We have the beauty of being able to see how the story ends here, but they didn't. Those that followed him, those in the temple, remember, in the synagogue, and they said, oh, everybody. And he was being glorified by all. They led him to the brow of the hill in which their city was built, that they might throw him over the cliff. Man, that's in the same chapter. I'm sorry, what? Being glorified by all and then want to throw him over the cliff? It's not the first time we're going to experience this on his journey to victory, is it? No. And he goes through that, but he perseveres. And I want to tell you this today. If you're here and you're going through struggles, say, Adam, I've been a godly person all my life or most of my life or whatever, for 3 years, for 30 years. Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, all the things that He is, all the things that we call Him, the mighty name of Jesus. And He went through those. But each time He got up and He returned in power, and returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't fully understand it. Great, just show up in the power then. We'll help you understand the Holy Spirit aspect. And then maybe you'll say, oh, I guess that was the power of the Holy Spirit. I thought it was just me. Don't boast on yourself. He says, boast in Jesus. But he returned. So we have to return. And we have to continue pressing on with the will of the Father and the work that he's given us to do. Maybe the work isn't to be done in this town or this place or whatever. Jesus was taken to other places where he was rejected. He went elsewhere. But he overcame those things and returned to continue doing ministry. When his friends turned on him, he went other places, and in the end, he turned into his inner circle, the disciples. Now, his good works were attacked many times over, but he didn't stop them because he knew this is the will of the Father. This is the work of the Father, the will of the Father. I will continue doing these. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today we ask for restoration and healing for those that may be struggling. Lord, we ask you to remind us of our defining moment and where we face rejection and sin. Father, help us to respond and return with an attitude of power, overcoming. Help us to understand your glory and your satisfaction in our return to ministry. Lord, I pray for those that aren't here today, that they just sense your presence to return and to return in power. To stand back up, to overcome, even where the enemy has defeated them or they feel defeated, that you've come that the enemy may be defeated once and for all. Help us understand, Lord, in our journey to victory that we'll stumble and we'll fall and we'll face objections and rejection just like Jesus did. But help us to follow in his footsteps of returning to persevere. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.